Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack. That's Jim. And it is a beautiful 5th of July. That's right. The day after Independence Day.
The first Thursday in July 2018.
And so it is.
Absolutely.
Right, you are.
And
go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to ask you, or do you want to do your weather first about our blustery day outside?
Yeah, I had the bike ride in was a little more challenging than normal. Felt like I was coming uphill to get here for at least half the time. But
it's a warm wind.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's certainly not cold outside. It's currently 64 degrees, and it's not going to be any chillier than that for
a while.
Yeah. What, about 14 hours probably. It's 64 degrees currently with a high of 89. Just shy of 90, they bumped it down a little bit.
I think the rest of the nation will have us to join them.
Yeah,
because they have been sweltering.
Right, and yeah, I know in the Midwest, I have gotten nothing but reports of
and humidity. I bet too.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard from my cousin this morning in Northern Indiana, and she said it has been awful, one of the worst she can ever remember.
Yeah. That's about the size of it that I'm getting from the family back in Minnesota too. But yes, we're coming to join you.
Not with the humidity.
No, actually, and today's going to be the hot day, and then it'll be a very pleasant weekend. It looks like we have 89 degrees and sunny and clear skies in the forecast all weekend long, with an exception possibly of Friday night. A chance of thunderstorms tomorrow night. But
well, that's when rain should occur.
Yes.
I would think in a perfect universe, rain would occur between 10 at night and 6 in the morning.
It is the northeast wind today blowing 7 to 17 miles an hour.
Gusting.
Gusts as high as 26. That'll blow you right over.
Would that close down the lifts up at Schweitzer if this was ski season? Ooh,
oh,
I'm not a skier.
No, me neither. I don't know. Yeah.
Just a thought.
The low gets down to about 62 degrees tonight. East wind around 6 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 85. Light and variable wind.
Okay, I can live with that.
There's that 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight on Friday night, but then clear again on Saturday and a high of 75 degrees. A nice 75, southwest wind around 9 miles an hour on Saturday. Nice sailing weather. Then
sailing weather.
Yeah.
You just get blown into the next county.
Sunny with a high near 81 on Sunday. And then looking into next week, 85 degrees, 77, 78. You know, nice summer weather. It's finally arrived. It kind of took all of June to get here, but now
our tomato plants will be happy, happy, happy.
Yeah.
We have Beth Weber, director of the Festival at Sandpoint Summer Music Youth Camp, here with us this morning. Good morning, Beth. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good morning.
Got it.
Jack just fell off his stool, and in the process, hit the button with your voice. Let's talk about a little bit about the 4th of July. And how did you spend your 4th of July, Beth?
Well, my husband and I rode our bicycles to the parade, and then we spent some time at home in the yard, rode our bikes around town, and then we went to the fireworks, which was just a wonderful break.
How was the parade with the new route? Did it work out okay from your point of view?
Sure. From our point of view, it was great. I don't know about everybody else, but it was wonderful. We sat by the fountain.
Sure,
yeah, it went down.
Where the little children run around and play.
Right.
Gotcha. I never think of that as a fountain.
Well, what else could it be? It's Town Square.
Yeah. That's it.
There you go.
We were by the town square.
And a good crowd?
It was a wonderful crowd, and all the people in the parade stopped right where we were and performed whatever their performance was.
Oh,
so
what
we
fun.
Felt like we had press coverage there almost.
Yeah, you were the reviewing
stand.
Like
we were the press.
You were the reviewing stand, and you held up cards like a 10 or a
exactly.
9.
Exactly.
Oh, what fun.
It was great fun.
Anything stand out to you in the parade? Any performers or any organizations?
Boy, there were so many. You know, Fiesta Bonita had a mariachi band. And then these women with the most beautiful Mexican skirts that they were flashing and twirling around. And that was really wonderful. Just, there was a gymnastics group that was doing flips on a float. There was small child pulling a pig in a wagon, and that was pretty.
Did you see it?
I did, and I think the Fiesta Bonita is it a mariachi band? I don't know,
I think that's
a pretty universal sentiment that was the perhaps the highlight. It's really cool. Yeah,
yeah. It's between them and the blueberry people, all dressed up in their blue paint and dancing and singing.
Were there cute dogs from the animal
Absolutely.
Shelter?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. They had dogs and bicycle riders and equestrians.
Oh, what fun.
You know, yeah, it's a great
And then the fireworks in the evening, how was that? The fireworks.
Incredible. We were down on the beach right by the water, so directly underneath them. Mm-hmm. It filled up the whole sky. It was just marvelous.
I did not see them.
You didn't go this year?
I was a homebody this year because we had family from Oregon and Spokane up, and I grilled ribs and corn on the cob and made my famous baked beans. And we had a nectarine blueberry crisp with homemade vanilla ice cream.
Oh, man. That sounds
pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds like the 4th of July. That sounds great.
It turned out really wonderful, and I never left the kitchen, but I just enjoyed that. So I put on KRFY on the radio, and I just listen to the music and have a ball cooking.
That's great.
Oh, it is. Beth is here with us. She is the director of the festival at Sandpoint Summer Music Youth Camp. Can you give a little bit of what the camp is and how long it's running and what goes on there?
Well, this is a music camp for music students ages 8 through 18, and it's from July 9th until the 12th, so it's this coming week, at the high school. And we have 116 students signed up for this camp and 15 instructors from the area. And it's beginning through advanced musicians. So we've got pretty much the whole gamut there. String, wind, and ukulele even, drumming. Yeah.
What's the purpose of the camp? What would you say is the goal in from the 9th through the 12th, that's about 3-4 days. What is a goal or the mission of the camp?
We would like to just immerse students in music.
Okay.
And there was no tuition for this for the students. It was basically free. They had to pay a little bit of a registration fee, $25 registration fee. But otherwise, it's a sponsorship by the festival to allow students to participate in group music performances that are really fun and hopefully stretch their abilities and increase their enthusiasm in playing music.
So this is sponsored by the festival at Sandpoint, one of the activities that it supports.
Right. And the festival just didn't want anybody to have to be left out because of finances, so they paid for the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. And can you run us through what a day at the camp is like? So you've already got the 160. Is it too late for anybody to be added on?
It's too late. The classes are brimming.
Okay.
Yeah.
So run me through a day.
Well, it starts in the morning with orchestra and band. So we have the auditorium at the high school. This is occurring at the high school. So we have the auditorium and the band room full, one with an orchestra and one with a band. And then all of the students participate in choir. So orchestra is Jason Moody, who grew up here and learned to play the violin here. And the band is conducted by Rachel Gordon, who has taught music in the school district and teaches at Bellanote Music Studios now. So we have this band and orchestra. They're the grand band and orchestra grande. They include all levels of students performing. Then we branch off during the day to smaller groups with more advanced students. And while we're doing their ensembles, flute ensembles, saxophone ensembles, so forth, the more beginning students will have the opportunity to play in a drumming course, ukulele, which is Ryan Dignan with Bucket Beat Drumming. It's just a whole lot of fun. He drums, teaches the kids how to play wonderful rhythms on plastic buckets and plastic and metal chairs with drumsticks.
Anything that can be hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And Dave Gunter is going to be teaching a beginning ukulele class. He's got 35 students in that. And Larry Mooney's going to be teaching a beginning guitar group. So for students who are beginning musicians, they're going to have a wide array of other musical experiences that they get to be involved in. Plus, they'll get to play in the big band with and the big orchestra with more advanced students. So that'll stretch them a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. Did you say everybody sings in the choir?
Everybody sings in the choir.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we have John Brownell, who's, he was a Idaho State music teacher of the year in 2009, and he's well loved in the community. So he's doing the older half of the group of 116 students. And then his brother, Bruce Brownell, teaches in Priest River, and he's taking the younger half of the group. So they'll each choir will do their own piece. On Thursday night, we're going to have a concert with all these ensembles that the kids have been working in. And Thursday night, each of those choirs will sing. And then at the very end, they'll all combine together. So every student in the camp will be singing together. Mm-hmm. That's going to be great.
We should talk more about that, the performances later on. Mm-hmm. But where'd the idea for this? This is the first year. So where did this come from?
I don't know. Dino and I were just talking one day, and that came up somehow. And then I said, it would be really great.
And you ran with it.
We ran with it. Yeah, I said it would just be great to get all of these music teachers that have been here for so long together on a project. And she liked the idea too, because it's part of the festival's mission to help with music education. Mm-hmm. So this runs right down their purpose.
So what does a director do? What is your job?
Well, in the beginning, when Dino asked me, would you like to do it? And I said, yes. She said, okay, bring me a budget. That was How do I do that?
How do you do that?
Well, first of all, I have to figure out what it is I want to do. So basically, I'm going, okay, this is my project then.
Okay.
So I thought about the teachers in town, mm-hmm. and what I knew that they could do, tried to put up a program that would include all of these teachers, these independent teachers. And then I called them up and asked them if they would be interested in doing it. And every single one of them was enthusiastic and said yes. So that was a real, push from behind to go forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess that you start off with who's available.
Right.
It's summer. Lord knows that people are off on holiday and things. So when you say they're independent, they're not like within the school system?
Well, either they're teaching in the school system. Most of the people who teach in the school system also teach privately.
Okay.
And the others have private studios that they work in or work out of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So.
And now that you have the teachers, them lined up, mm-hmm. what's next? What next did you do?
Then that was back in November.
Like, whoa, like 2017?
Yes. And so then I contacted all of the school districts within a radius of, I don't know what the radius was, but let's make a circle. Creston, British Columbia.
Oh, you even went international.
Ritzville, Moscow, and Thompson Falls. So that was my goal, was to encircle that area with information, mm-hmm. fill that area with information.
Absolutely.
About the camp. Then the word spread, and we got, we have some musicians coming up from California. We have one girl from Switzerland. We have a couple of people from the Seattle area.
No kidding.
Goldendale. Yeah,
Were you surprised?
I was pleased. Yes, I was very pleased. It wasn't so much a surprise as, yes, it's working. We're getting it out there. So we have a lot of students from around here, and we have several from Spokane. Rathdrum is bringing a busload. kids.
Rectrum is.
Lindsay Hudson, their music instructor there, got it together to get a school bus so they could bring all the kids together. Yeah, so
that's got to feel good in terms of in terms of you line up the teachers. Ooh, that went too easy. There's got to be a roadblock ahead of them. All of a sudden, whoa, from Rathdrum, a busload. And you go, boy, next year, can we handle 250 students?
I think the limitation is the number of rooms that we can get at the high school. Because while we're using the high school for the classes.
And they were cooperative?
The school district is wonderful. Yes. They're just... I asked what I needed, and they basically provided it. So that's just great. But you know, at the high school, they've also got summer school going on and driver's ed and the maintenance that's going on. So they can't just give us 20 rooms. Mm-hmm. We have to be limited to a certain number. So within that parameter.
So where are the kids like coming in from Seattle? Where are they going to stay? Take care of it themselves?
Well, I think they actually have grandparents here.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Charlie and Donna Parrish's grandchild, I think.
Maddie.
Maddie. And then there's another girl named Maddie, actually, coming from Bainbridge Island. And I think she and her mom are going to stay at a bed and breakfast or hotel or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of people are staying in places and making a week vacation out of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Or have family or relatives here. This is a good chance to visit someone. And how about the person from Switzerland?
I think she's an exchange student. I don't really know. She's staying with someone here for the summer. I don't know the history behind it, but she's here. So
when you received applications, what sort of information did you gather? Skill level or...
All of the instrumental students were required to send an audition video. So that was another part of my job.
Take time to review them.
Review all of these videos. Mm-hmm. And we told them, you know, keep it under 2 minutes. But still. Yeah. So that was why I had to start so early. But because we had those videos, we knew what level the musicians played. So we knew which classes to assign them to, what kind of music to pick for them. And so that was all part of the task too, was to come up with, okay, what are we going to have these kids play?
Which ensembles do we need? Do you have a musical background?
I do. I teach violin. I've taught violin in Sandpoint for 40 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that does help, I take it, when you evaluate are there just any students who are just doing vocals, not any instruments? So you do
there
have
are some.
You can be, but if you do an instrument, you have to do vocals. But if you do vocals, you don't have to do an instrument.
Well, no, all the students are asked to stay all day.
Okay.
So we had to figure out classes that those vocal students could participate in too. Hence, most of them are doing ukulele, drums, and beginning guitar. And we also have a music theory class for them. So, that was another challenge, was to make sure that we had something all day for everyone.
Perfect. Now, you said the age range 8 to 18. Where are you loaded? Like with 12-year-olds or
that's I just about right. Yeah.
I just guessed that.
Yeah.
I'm psychic.
We've got for instance, in the jazz band, which is the advanced band, we have more high school students in there.
Okay.
And in the grand band, we have more beginners.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, fifth grade is when most of the students start their music education in school.
Okay.
So that's where most of them, the cutoff for most of them. We do have a couple of 8-year-olds that have taken music lessons here privately. So
any of your students?
Yeah. There are a few of mine in there, too.
Excellent. We're here with Beth Weber, director of the festival at Sandpoint Summer Music Youth Camp that is running the 9th through the 12th this next week. And this is Jack and Jim on the morning show. And there's a couple events associated with the music camp coming up next week as well. Should we take a break? We'll take a music break and then we'll come back because I want to hear, you know, this sounds like this has been off to a grand start and I'd like to hear more about, I know it's way too early to be thinking about next year. Is it going to occur and that sort of thing? But on this date in 1954, that would be July 5, 1954, Elvis Presley went into a recording studio in Memphis, Tennessee, and recorded his first song ever. And we know that the rest is music history. Here is the first song that Elvis Presley ever recorded and released. The flip side was Blue Moon of Kentucky, and this is That's All Right, an Arthur Crudup song.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of the Morning Show, but feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That is Elvis Presley on this date in 1954. It's his first commercial recording session that took place in Memphis, Tennessee. And if you like 50s music, just plain Bob, 5 o'clock on Saturdays, music of the 50s.
He does sound, Elvis sounds already, already sounds like Elvis on recording number one.
He sounds so fresh.
Yeah.
That's what I like about his early recordings is that he, you know, if you stop and think what's ahead for this person in this energy and the world of music, I mean, took it by storm. And this is 54, but in a couple of years, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
He had the girls screaming.
And then just as they're recovering their voices, along comes the Beatles and rips those vocal cords again.
Did you ever see Elvis, Jim? Just asking.
Only on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
When they couldn't show his wiggling hips. No, I never saw him live or in person. And but boy, did I love his music. I remember growing up, it was either Pat Boone or Elvis Presley. You know, one was the clean, squeaky clean Bobby Sox image of Pat Boone, Love Letters in the Sand, April Love. And on the other was The Rebel. He wiggles his hips. Oh my gosh, what that could do to a person. And that was Elvis. And I loved his music.
Yeah.
And I still do. You know, as he gets into the 60s, you know, as the you know, I think of the United States Postal Service. You know, they had a vote. Oh, who do you, which Elvis do you want on a postage stamp? The young Elvis or the old? You know, I lose track of Elvis Presley around 64, 65.
Right. Yeah. He's more, he's less of a, I don't know. He comes a little self-parodic.
Well, the Beatles came in.
Right.
The Beatles came.
You know, once the Beatles came in and Bob Dylan, you had not only singers, but singer-songwriters. And the music scene just radically changes in the 60s. And I'm sure Jerry Warren at 6 o'clock on Saturdays with the 60s could explain it more in depth and much better than I could.
Right. Yeah, he's no longer a music innovator after a few years, but he was still a cultural force.
Oh,
not that I remember him. But.
And you know what I like more than anything else in his later years? His gospel songs. You know, his gospel songs really... Wow, boy, would I like to be in a church where he's in the back and I'm hearing this voice, Peace in the Valley and things. I mean, he recorded those earlier, and he had a gospel EP that I once had, four songs in the late 50s, but I really enjoy him.
Yeah. Hey, we are talking about Elvis Presley, but we are in the room with Beth Weber. You're listening to Jack and Jim.
She's an Elvis fan. Elvis fan?
Absolutely.
There you go.
This is, I'm Jack, that's Jim, and Beth Weber is the director of the festival at Sandpoint Summer Youth Music Camp. And we were just talking about the not extracurricular, but the after-hours events, I guess. You've got a few concerts and things going on outside of the the school day, I suppose.
Yes, we do. On Monday night, we have a faculty concert. So we have all these marvelous teachers, most of them who have postgraduate degrees in performing on the instrument of their choice and years of experience teaching. So not only do they love to teach, but they also love to perform. So I asked them if they would be, just sent them a group email, would any of you be interested in playing in a faculty concert at the Panada? And they all said yes. So there we have it. It was easy just to come up with that one. And so that's happening on Monday night at 6 o'clock. And you'll get to hear Michael Keepy play. He's Dr. Michael Keepy. His doctorate is in saxophone performance. And he'll be playing a Demersman piece that's one of the first pieces ever written for the saxophone after it was invented. So it shows off all the potential of a saxophone. But, you know, things like that. We've got Dave Gunter singing a piece from a 1931 musical.
It sounds like it's going to be all over the place.
It's all over. All the instructors with the Brownell brothers are going to sing from Godspell. It's going to be great. We have quartets and soloists. Jason Moody will be playing his violin solo with no accompaniment.
Are you going to be playing?
I won't.
Okay.
No, I'm so busy. we're working with Dave Nygren and his crew doing the stage management. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he says, I definitely need to be involved in that. So that's fine with me. I'm happy to run around.
Dave is the mastermind behind the festival.
Yes. And he definitely knows what he's doing. So if he says, we need you back there, that's where I'll be.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long will the event last?
Probably about 2 hours.
Okay, so this is at the Panada Theater.
6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock on this Monday. Monday at 9 o'clock. I was going to say at 9 o'clock. It's July 9th.
July 9th.
It was 6 to about 8 o'clock. And?
And tickets are available online through the festival website or at Eve's Leaves, and they're only $5, so you can't beat that. We've even got Leon Atkinson playing with us.
Will he be teaching?
He's teaching the advanced guitar.
Oh, super. Right?
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to miss it.
No.
It's going to be wonderful.
This one's wide open to the public.
Wide open to the public.
And I imagine at the door as well.
Yes, if there are any tickets left, but remember there are 116 students in this camp. And their parents are coming too.
That's right.
So if you want to come and see this wonderful show, you need to get on ordering those tickets.
Yeah. Monday, July 9th, 6 to 8. We're guessing at about 8 at Festival Office. I imagine one can pick up tickets.
Festival Office or online at the festival or at Eve's Leaves. $5. You've got Dave Gunter, Brownells. Flute performance. Mika Hood's she's a master cello performer. She's going to be playing her cello. We've got people from the Spokane Symphony are teaching at the workshop. Anita Perkins on viola. She'll be doing all of the instructors will be playing. Larry Mooney with guitar. Yep.
Cool. And then later on in the week, what's going on Wednesday?
Okay. Then on Wednesday, we have a contra dance, which is open to the public, too. Emily Faulkner will be calling that, and that's at the community hall. Mm-hmm.
The wooden structure on First Avenue.
Right, the log building. So that's at the community hall, and I will be playing in that. Lonnie Hawkins, Doug Bond, Karen Dignan, and I will be playing as the contra dance band.
Okay, yeah. So it's not recorded music this time.
No, I mean it's just live music.
Oh, mm-hmm. Cool! Oh,
that makes it all the more fun.
And Emily is a well-known caller for the whole Inland Empire. I mean, she's the best. So we're happy to have her.
And what time is that?
That will be at 7.
7 o'clock, July the 11th, Wednesday, at the Sandpoint Community Hall, mm-hmm. The wooden structure, the log structure on First Avenue.
And that's a free event.
Bring dancing mm-hmm. shoes.
Bring dancing shoes and a smile on your face.
Sensible dancing shoes, not Ginger Rogers heels, but, you know.
Right. If So can I be a beginner? I've never danced contra.
We're not going to do the most difficult dances because most of these students haven't danced either. So Emily's got a really nice set laid out of easy to learn tunes, and she will teach them, and the caller tells you exactly what to do. So it's easy and fun. You go to a contra dance and everyone is smiling always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that the building is pretty cool.
It is. It's a hardwood floor.
That'll be a nice dance hall. They have dances there all the time. I've never gone, but maybe this is the one.
Oh, you should.
I say that every time.
You should.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
So that's on Wednesday. From you said at what time? 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock. It's
okay.
From 7 until 9.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it like a Western hoedown, or what kind of dance is it?
We play old time fiddle and dance tunes, reels, and a waltz. We'll do one waltz, but most of them are reels and jigs. Mm-hmm. And they have circle dances or dances where you do do-si-do and partners around, but none of the square dance puffy skirts. You know, this is just casual.
You're going to have to leave your puffy skirt at home,
Chad. Yeah, you have to leave your puffy skirt
Sorry.
At home.
So what is the attire then?
Pretty much whatever a person wants to wear.
Uh-huh.
It's just that, you know, you think of square dancing as having those outfits with the big puffy, I don't know what you call them.
But they can get in the way.
Yeah. So they don't do that in contra dancing. It's it's more from the folk people.
And what kind of shoes?
Folks. Something smooth on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That's really comfortable.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's Wednesday night.
That's Wednesday night. And then Thursday night.
The 12th
is the last day. Thursday's the last day of camp. These kids will have been working all week on various ensembles from the big band all the way down to a guitar soloist, I believe. And they're going to perform for us. That's another $5 ticket at the Panetta Theater.
At what time?
And that's at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And then the choir, all the kids are in the choir. So at the very end of that performance, both choirs, we have two choirs, both choirs will combine, which means all of the students of the camp will be singing.
That will be a full stage and with 116.
That'll be all the way down into the aisles. Yeah, the aisles will be full of singing children. So
cool.
Should be great.
So you are what, 4 days away from kickoff?
Yep.
How do you feel?
Excited.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything, any last minute, anything you got to iron out still?
Well, we're still working on the logistics of how to get all the kids in and out of the theater with their instruments and where to put them, their cases and all of that. But that's coming together. That's all going to happen. I just had to sit down and write it all out and then rewrite it until it seemed like it would work.
Yeah.
And then I need to get that information to their instructors.
Yeah. This is fun. It's a 4-day music camp.
4 days.
116 students this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts for, and then if it goes well, you want to do it again?
Yes, I think so. I think the festival would be really happy to do it.
How about you?
I think so. The women at the festival office were wonderful. I had to put together all the organizational part of it, but they did all the copying. They printed out all the music, name tags for the kids. I think I made more mistakes than they did in this whole process. So it was wonderful to work with them.
Well,
I had never done that before. So.
Dino and her group over there at the festival office are just incredible folks. And we're going to run through one more time. On Monday, July 9th at 6 o'clock at the Panetta Theater, the faculty members of the summer camp will be putting on a concert, and it'll run about 2 hours, and tickets are available at
Eve's Leaves or online through the festival website or at the festival office, and they're $5.
Perfect. And then on the 11th, Wednesday, at Sandpoint Community Hall on First Avenue, a contra dance, and that begins at
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. And then on Thursday, July 12th, it will be the students.
That's right.
All 116 of them will be performing.
Yeah, we'll have cello ensembles, flute ensembles, sax ensemble.
Again,
jazz at band.
6 o'clock. And tickets are?
$5 at Eve's Leaves. at the Festival at Sandpoint website or at the festival office.
Well, how exciting. Now, I need to ask you a personal question. This is something that I don't know much about, you being a violin. What's the relationship between a violin and a fiddle?
A violin and a fiddle are exactly the same instrument. A violin is usually thought of as playing classical music.
Right.
And classical music is meant to stimulate your mind, your emotions. People, when they listen to classical concerts, sit very still and become very cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
Fiddle music is meant to make you move your body,
okay,
make you dance, okay, make you want to tap your feet and clap your hands and jump up and down. Mm. So that's the difference.
So on Wednesday night, you're going to be a fiddle player.
That's right.
Not a violin player.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there such a thing as, you know, like Paul McCartney being a left-handed bass player, is there such a thing as a left and a right-handed fiddle? Is it?
There are. Mm-hmm.
Are most right-handed?
Most of them are right-handed. You play the bow with your
right hand
and the fingering with your left hand. But there are people who switch the fingering around and play the other way.
How was it for you? I take it you're right-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Okay, let's say you had a left-handed student. Is that a challenge for you?
It probably would be. I've never had one. I've had a couple of students who are left-handed, but what I say to them is, your left hand is the fingering hand, so you're going to be really good at that. The part you're going to have to work at is using your right hand for the bow.
Ah.
Now, for right-handed people, they're really good. The bow is easy.
Flows.
But the fingering is more of a challenge because that's their left hand. So
no kidding.
You don't really have to switch the instrument around. You just have to switch your thinking as to which part of the playing you need to focus on the most.
Intriguing. Yeah. And in all of your years of teaching, you've never had a left-handed.
I've never had one who wanted to play with a left-handed instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know people that do it. In fact, there's a fiddle player. Her name used to be Katrina Pierce. I don't remember her last name now, but she won consistently down at Weezer at the National Fiddle Contest.
Mm-hmm.
And she played left-handed fiddle with her fingering with her right hand, and it looked funny, but boy, was she good, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I imagine you as a professional being right-handed, when you see a left-handed one who's really good, you go, wow.
Exactly.
You know, your jaw drops and goes, have you ever, mm-hmm, just for fun, tried it the reverse way?
You know, I do, because sometimes I need to remind myself how difficult it is when I'm teaching the students and how difficult it is for them. Violin is the hardest instrument of all to learn. So when I try to play it left-handed, I'm a beginner again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally uncoordinated, and I can't even play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and make it sound beautiful. And that's the first song the kids learn with a bow.
Wow.
Yeah, I sometimes show the kids that, and I say, look, of course you can't play that well yet. This is what I can do if I have to play left-handed, you know? It's like, that's how you start.
Yeah.
Right.
Why is it considered the most difficult instrument to learn?
Well, there are no keys to push that give you a pure tone. There are no frets to delineate intonation for you. There's just a plain fingerboard, and you have to find the exact spot on the string to make the perfect tone. So there are more sour notes on a violin than there are usable ones.
Mm. Is every violin different to find the sweet notes?
No, the notes are pretty much the same distance because the violins are all made consistently the same size. So it's pretty much the same. You can pick up one or another as long as you're playing the same size instrument.
Do you hit sour notes?
Oh, yes, occasionally, but most of the time, I'm pretty well in tune. You practice enough that you can't make those mistakes. You train your fingers so that they don't go to those other places. And then the other thing about the violin is the bow. 95% of playing is the bow. It expresses all the emotion of the instrument. You know, whether it's going to be bouncy or lively or deep and rich and long. All of that comes from the bow. All you get from the fingers is notes. So that's a whole different focus there.
How old is your violin?
Mine was built in 1981, mm-hmm, by Leif Carlson. He lives up in Creston, British Columbia, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or,
do you find it true that the older they get, the
the better they sound?
Usually, but not always. Sometimes a violin will get worse as it gets older. So you just never know. They're all different pieces of wood. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is really, you know, I'd love to have you back on again to talk about, because I love music, but I'm ignorant about how it's made, or somebody says a note or a key and my eyes just glaze over. You know, I mean, I just love music, but I know nothing about it. But I like your enthusiasm, Beth, and and you have the knowledge behind it.
Well, I like to play with a lot of other musicians too and jam with them. And it is, when you say you're ignorant of music, we all are. You know, like I'll play with someone and then they'll be all nervous because they think I know more about music than they do. Mm-hmm. But I only know what I know. Maybe I'll play with a blues person who's an expert at blues. Mm-hmm. They know way more about blues than I do. You know, so I'm the one who's ignorant there.
Okay.
You know, so it's very funny. I played with someone who had professional albums out before.
Ooh.
And we were on a raft trip together. We brought our instruments. She played guitar. Belinda Bowler. Do you remember her? Anyway, she had her guitar and her singing. And we were on this raft trip and I got my fiddle out and we sat around by the campfire and we were ready to start. And she gave a big sigh and said, I'm so nervous. Are you kidding me? You have a professional album. You travel around doing shows. And she said, I'm afraid you're going to know how little I know. And I said, well, I feel the same way. We're all experts in our own field. And that's it.
So you mentioned the word jam. And, the Grateful Dead do jams and Allman Brothers jam. When you... How do you know where to go in a jam? Okay, you're a violin or playing fiddle, and okay, let's jam. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, I follow the melody, and then I can stay within the key and play whatever things will harmonize with the melody.
And
as long as I know the melody, I can pretty much make up stuff that'll fit with it.
No kidding.
Yeah, but guitar players, they go by chords. Usually, you know, they'll talk about the chord progressions. And usually, like you said, eyes glaze over. My eyes will glaze over. It's like, okay, I don't know about these chord progressions, but I know
no
when
melody.
They change.
Yes.
You can hear when they change, you know, even if you don't know what they are.
Oh,
so
this has been really good to have you on. We're here with Beth Weber, director of the festival at Sandpoint Summer Music Youth Camp. And what does one say, you know, like somebody going on the stage, you know, break a leg? What do we say to a director of a summer music camp heading into the week?
Have fun.
Can we say have some sour notes?
No, have fun. That's what it's about. We're going to have fun playing music together. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, okay. Again, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. If you go to Sandpoint Online, you can find out information about the different activities with the music camp.
Yes.
The faculty concert on Monday, the contra dance on Wednesday, and the students concert on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Beth, thank you so much for coming in. It's been good having you.
It's been a pleasure.
Come back again.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Absolutely. As you get off the ground for the next one and any way that we can help, like getting the word out about applications.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you.
Good. Have a good next week. We've got a song queued up here. This is a song that was released here in the United States on July 5th, 1964. It was the debut hit for this band, Jerry and the Pacemakers. How do you do it?
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
Jerry and the Pacemakers. That song was released here in the United States on this date in 1964. And the little bit of curious music history is that the song was recorded by the Beatles. And the Beatles felt that the recording that they did just didn't fit their image or their sound, so they didn't release it. Yeah. See, this was recorded a year earlier in Britain and was a hit over there for Jerry and the Pacemakers, another Liverpudlian band. And but you can, in 1995, the anthology series of the Beatles, 1, 2, and 3, you can find this on the anthology, the recording of the Beatles of How Do You Do It.
Yeah. And they did, speaking of the Beatles, I just remember from watching that, I think it was the anthology, the TV show, the TV series,
the great, you know,
that they didn't want their first, they played plenty of covers, but they didn't want their first single to be written by somebody else.
Their first one was Love Me Do. Curiously about the recording session on that, Ringo Starr did not play drums.
Uh-huh.
And just a little bit of this and that. I was just, you know, this is a side note before we get into the upcoming events, that we had some remodeling done at home. Mm-hmm. And I have cleared out some of my books and things like that. But I have a whole long shelf of music, books written about the Beatles and their music. And did you see the car karaoke with Paul McCartney?
I know that it's out there, but I heard that
watch
he did
it. Yeah. Watch it, watch it. You can just go to YouTube and put car karaoke with Paul McCartney. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, how would you feel at his age? He's in his 70s. And to have that much written about you and what you've done, and where does your story fit in? Like, no, it wasn't exactly that way when we recorded it. Or no, John did this, or George did that, or Ringo. You know, I'm intrigued by how he must feel, like, with all of this words, all of these words written about him and what he has done and his and the band. Intriguing. Yeah. And I've got, and I hate like heck to say how many of those books I haven't read.
Let's see. Well, we got the upcoming events calendar. I was going to say you didn't go to the fireworks show last night.
I was a homebody. Yeah. You know, as I get older, no, I have gone, but I've watched them from a distance. I don't feel like I need to be right under them, having them bursting over my head.
Yeah.
But last night I stayed at home. It was, a good day, and I just sort of relaxed.
I thought the Lions Club did, this might have been their best one. Well, best one that I've seen, maybe, from one. I'm just trying to be honest here. I don't want to give them too much credit. But
You've set the bar for them.
Yeah.
I thought it was excellent. Next year, you've got to be better than excellent, right. Which is what?
Yes, surpassing excellence next year. We are coming into we kind of had two 4th of July weekends this year. Some people took the early weekend off, and some people are going.
It's tough when it's on a Wednesday. You know, I'm that way with Christmas or things like that. You know, I want them close to a weekend or on a weekend where, but of course, if it's in the middle of the week, some people probably got off 2nd and 3rd, and some people got off 5th and 6th.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm working every day. It was very strange to have like a midweek
midweek weekend.
But there was, I had like a Friday night on Tuesday. We are coming into, it is currently July the 5th. Must be. So,
we do have the Idaho Draft Horse and Mule International, Northwest largest draft horse and mule expo at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Ooh. Check out the show schedule and buy tickets at idahodrafthorseshow.com. Plus, there's much, much more art and gear show. You can visit the horses, the gentle giants in their stalls, food vendors. You can visit with Bonnie Shields, the legendary Tennessee mule artist, and much, much more. You can see the Wild Hearts drill team. If you want more information, 208-263-8414. The Idaho Draft Horse and Mule International, 5th through the 8th. That is today through Sunday.
That sounds like a cool one to go see.
I think first of all, it'd be cool because I know so little about them.
Yeah, same.
You know, I mean, what makes a nice mule? I have no idea. But I just think, well, you know what else I like about it is that there are people out there who are enthusiastic and love what, you know, it could be just a small little thing, like the tractor guy who's going to be coming on here, who has a museum. You know, people who are enthused, the Lost in the 50s people with their automobiles, you know, they have a passion for, and there's people out there with a passion for draft horses and mules. And I think that is perfect.
Yes. That'll be, so that's out at the
Bonner County Fairgrounds, 5th through the 8th.
Tonight, we'll do the music rundown. There's plenty of music because summer is here.
Lots of music.
Live jazz music at Trinity at City Beach with Bright Moments Jazz from 6 to 9. Lifelong musician Carrie Lee is playing the Thursday night solo series at McDuff's Beer Hall from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. He owns and operates a recording studio in Sandpoint. Americana folk rock, country, and blues. That's at McDuff's Beer Hall. There's music on the patio at the 219 Lounge with solo musician Donna Stafford from Portland, Oregon. Sensitive and lyric-driven, Donna's acoustic arrangements and vocals are soulful and raw. An upbeat fusion of modern folk and light rock. This is 21 and older from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the back patio at 219 North 1st Avenue. And there's probably more, but the big day is Friday. Well, Friday and Saturday.
Friday is, and I'll kick it off, winery live music at the Ponderay Winery on Cedar Street, 301 Cedar Street. Live music from 5 to 8 with Tekla Waterfield. Come help welcome Tekla to the tasting room for her first appearance. She's a Seattle-based singer-songwriter who lives in the wide-open realm of Americana roots music, incorporating elements of folk, country, indie, rhythm and blues, and soul. That is Friday at the Ponderay Winery from 5 to 8. And then just down the street from them at the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 to 7, Ben Olson and Katie Archer.
That's at the IPA.
Yep.
I wonder how long is that street going to be closed? Any idea?
I peeked down there as I exited off the Cedar Street Bridge, and it looks like, this is just from a block away, like they have filled in, and don't take my word for it. I think that they are more towards completion than when they started.
Okay. Well, yes, that's a very
and you can
well
book
put.
Me on that.
Okay. We have the Cedar Street Bridge has music on Friday night, tomorrow night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Also at McDuff's Beer Hall from 6:30 to 9:30, Devin Wade is back for the first Friday of July. Independent country music for out of Sandpoint, Idaho. Big deal Friday night. Patio music at the 219 Lounge at 219 North 1st Avenue from 9 p.m. to midnight. Dancing Shoes and enjoy one of Sandpoint's favorite all local bands, the Beat Diggers. Your favorite rock and roll tunes. Free and open to the public as long as you're 21 and older tomorrow night at the 219. And again, there's probably more, but that's what I got.
And kicking off Saturday, there's the Sandpoint Farmers Market. Shop for locally grown produce, artisan wares, and more from 9 to 1 at Farman Park, corner of 3rd and Main. Live music with Truck Mills and Gardens Are Producing. So you want to get down there. And also Saturday is Museum's first free Saturday, the Bonner County History Museum at 611 South Ella. First free Saturday, 10 to 2. Everyone is invited to enjoy the museum free of charge, sponsored this month by Richard Hanna. So that is the first free Saturday of every month with the museum.
There is a junior ranger program out at Round Lake State Park on Duford Road in Sagal. A junior ranger program for kids aged 6 to 12. It happens every Saturday at 3 p.m. This week's program is Round Lake Rocks. Discover the geology of Round Lake. It starts at the Round Lake Amphitheater, and it is free and open to the public, again, 6 to 12, if you want to be a junior ranger.
Ooh,
yes.
Junior rangers. I do have something I want to backtrack tonight at 5:30 at the East Bonner County Library, 1407 Cedar Street. there's a train watch workshop hosted by 350 Seattle. That's tonight at 5:30 at the library.
Okay, a train watch workshop. Continuing with Saturday, we are just about out of time, but there's lots of music going
on. And where can one go to find out more information? Sandpoint Online.
There you have it. There's music, of course, at the 219. It's a Pints for Pups takeover for Canine Companions for Independence. Kevin Doran from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. At the winery, the Monarch Mountain Band. At the Beer Hall on Saturday, Kelly McTavish, Jeff Poole, and Allie Maverick Thomas from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. They played here at our membership drive.
Membership drive.
And did great.
Quite excellent to listen to. And tonight on KRFY, 7 o'clock, Americana Backroads. 8 o'clock, live from the Divide with music from Bozeman, Montana. And then 9 to midnight, folk music. If you like American and Canadian folk music and roots music, that's the place to be.
There you have it. We are out of time. Stay
good
tuned
to
for
see
Bird
you again, Jack.
And you. And enjoy your second Independence Day weekend.
Bird note.
Bird note time. Well, stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. After that, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderé.